Welcome to Fat Camp Show number 4 for August 8th, 2015.
Now there was a time when you loved me so.
Fatbike.com presents Fat Camp, a monthly podcast covering different technical aspects of fat and plus-size bikes. Look for all our shows at fat-bike.com/fatcamp or subscribe to our feed on iTunes. Welcome, campers.
Hey, campers. Welcome back. Podcast number 4, Ken.
Yes, big number 4.
Yeah, and for 4, we're bringing in a third.
Yes, we've got a special guest, the Irishman.
Mickey, you want to say something about yourself here?
Good evening, podcasters. I was over at 26 camp, and all we got is burned out marshmallows and charred boiled, look like frostbite fingers, sausages on the fire, and I walked past the 29 camp just to come here for Fat Camp.
Well, welcome.
Glad you made it all the way through those wheel sizes to get to us.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't want to end up lingering with the zombie bikes, that's for sure. So,
what are we talking about tonight, Ken?
Yeah, so we've got a little bit of a ramshackle agenda for tonight. We want to end up getting into some stuff having to do with sort of the different performance characteristics of different width tires and things like that. Try to talk about some of our experiences recently because we've been riding a lot of different size stuff, everything from 2.4-inch, you know, zombie bike style tires all the way up to like 4.8-inch big fat Nards. And on different trails, we've had some really kind of surprising performance things pop out. Just kind of provide some context for trends that have been going on in the industry in recent years. A lot of those trends have been driven by the fat bike world, where we've seen a lot of revolutionary stuff, a lot of different new ways of looking at the ideal tire rim combinations. And then we want to end up kind of going from there to talk about what seems like might be kind of a minor issue, but tire rim ratios, and like basically how fat a rim do you want for any given size tire, and we're going with a little bit more narrow rim or going with a little bit wider rim might make more sense depending on what kind of conditions you want to go ride in.
What would Fat Camp be without little ratios and more numbers?
Yeah, we got to get the numbers in there. We got to geek out on something.
Totally. So tires and rims, that's kind of the topic for today.
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
Well, we're going to take a little break here and we'll be back in a second.
Well, how you like me now? How you like me now? How you like me now? Well, how you like me now? Remember the time.
Welcome back, Fat Campers.
So we're going to get into the first little section here and kind of talk about some industry trends and what's going on. I mean, if you're listening to this, you're probably a fat biker. And if that's the case, then you already know that fat is where it's at.
Fat is where it's at. Wouldn't you agree, Mick?
I am a fat biker, but I do not have a fat bike.
Poor soul.
That's okay, though. You can join our camp.
Kenny Craig for a cyclist?
Possibly.
Okay, so industry-wide, what we're seeing is that everybody from road bikes all the way to sort of the mountain bike world, everybody is looking at going fatter.
Did you say the word road bike?
Yeah.
Road bikes are getting fatter?
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, classically what everybody thought was like a really fast road setup was a really narrow rim, like a 19 millimeter rim,
sure,
with like a 22, 23 millimeter tire. What they found, though, is that by making the rims wider and deeper with a really blunt edge, they can get some positive aerodynamic characteristics, so the thing handles better in crosswinds. And then when you've got this really wide rim, then a wider tire ends up kind of smoothing the airflow better, and I'm getting way too geeky for a fat bike contest.
Is this going all the way up, though, to the pros, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you look at the pros now, most pros run like a 25-millimeter road tire.
In the Tour de France?
Oh, yeah. A few years ago, they ended up running considerably narrower. So there's been a big trend that way to go with wider tires, even with roadies.
I got to admit, I'm very proud that I am unaware of this. you know, with the whopping two road rides I've had this year, I had no idea this was going fat on the road bikes too.
Yeah, and the big thing that's driving it is that there's been a lot of things that have gone on technologically with the rims for aerodynamics, but then they've also found that fatter tires just roll with, you know, lower rolling resistance. You've got more traction. You can run them at a little bit lower pressure. There's just all these positives that go along with it. So, you know, if your roads are anything less than ideal, you know, a fatter tire is going to be way faster than a really skinny, like, tire at, like, 140 PSI.
Fatter is faster.
Yes. So what's happened is you've seen the same thing start to happen in the mountain bike world. And this has mostly been driven by a lot of things going on in the fat bike world. But there's also been a lot of pretty intense testing of, like, tire and rolling resistance. And what they found is that, you know, everybody always thought that more pressure was better. Like, you want to end up having, like, you know, 60 PSI in your, you know, mountain bike tires because it's going to roll really well.
I was one of those people.
Yeah, Mickey knows that well because he had, for those of you that are familiar with Iceman, it's a rather sandy point-to-point race that's kind of a real classic in the fall here in Michigan. And back in the day, we would run things like the Cosmic Lights, which would be like a 1.9-inch semi-slick 26-inch tire.
I'm not risking a pinch flat.
No. Yeah, definitely. With that size tire, yeah. You got to have at least 50 PSI. But what felt really fast in the parking lot back in the day, as we found out, is not very fast.
Totally, yeah.
So, you know, so this kind of leads into, you know, locally, what we joke around about calling bike doping is the 29 plus, because we got fairly sandy conditions here. They're fairly soft. And as slowly but surely, as people have switched over to the 29 plus concept, they just start smoking everybody else because the tire just rolls so much better in our, you know, fairly soft summer conditions.
Right. You're not slicing into it.
Yeah, you're not slicing and dicing on the trail.
Right.
You know, you're not, like, you know, feeling all squirrely.
Right.
And you just, you know, you can kind of point and shoot and you go right through sand.
Maybe off topic, but why has this taken so long to manifest itself in the mountain biking world?
Oh, it's just, I mean, there's this long held belief that, you know, higher pressure rolls faster. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, been broken down big time because now we've got things like fat bikes. You know, there's, you know, if you get a really sandy trail and you're on a 3.8-inch tire and somebody else is riding, let's say, just like a 29er.
Right.
I mean, you might be able to smoke them on the fat bike.
Sure.
So there's certain conditions where people are like, holy crap, this thing rolls way, 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 way better.
Gotcha.
So to kind of give you an example of this, we got a moto trail around here called Little O. And it's a fairly sandy moto trail, but it's really, really, really fun. Big banked corners, lots of whoops and things like that.
Good time.
But a lot of the downhills have a southern exposure, so they just get beat down by the sun. So it kind of turns into some really sandy beach sand type stuff. And like a plus bike doesn't work real well. The domain of the fat bike that rules. And we'd all been kind of riding around 4-inch tires a lot, maybe go up to like a 4.5-inch tire. Well, I ended up cracking out my beach riding setup, which is the 4.8-inch Nards, the big fat Nards.
Yeah, how'd that do?
Oh my God, that smoked it.
Significantly better than the 4-inch tire.
Yeah, on that trail, Quirin and I generally ride pretty close to each other.
Right.
And he was riding 3.8-inch Larrys, which is a really good sand tire. Rolls super fast, it's fairly light, and I was riding the big fat Nards, and I was just smoking him on the downhills. And most of that just had to do with the fact that it was a really soft trail and the bigger tire rolled with less resistance.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is this what tonight's show is about? We're talking about why the difference is.
This is section one of our ad hoc kind of show where we start talking about different wheel sizes and what's fast, what's not, and why, what's going on out there so people can kind of get some context of, okay, this is a really good setup for my conditions.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of an extreme example, because that's a really, really sandy moto trail. But you know, when you start to talk about more traditional mountain bike trails, typically a 4.8-inch tire is not where it's at. However, I did end up riding that around quite a bit, and this kind of gets into another factor which we could get into, is the outer diameter. That 4.8-inch big fat nard is almost the same outer diameter as a 29-plus tire. So people that were riding 29ers and things like that on the ride, which is a smaller diameter, I found myself rolling up on really easily. And this was, you know, just kind of classic Midwest single track, Big M area, for those that are familiar. And it was mostly just, I got a big freaking diameter tire to roll down the trail, so it's not dropping into holes and things like that.
Give that to me again, that 4.8.
Yeah, the 4.8, big fat nard.
Is the same?
Same size, like diameter.
Okay.
As a 29 plus.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, a 29 by 3
All
inch
right,
tire.
Diameter.
Yep. So a big tire. Like basically it's around 30 and a half inches in diameter.
Okay. Big ass tire, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like the Bud and the Lou. Okay. You know, those traditional 4.8 inch tires. So that ended up being a really fast setup for a lot of different things. And I never anticipated that burly a tire to do well.
That is surprising.
Yeah. So kind of on the flip side of that, I've been testing out a lot of different tires lately. Have I had the Panaracer Fatby Nimbles, which is a kind of they label it as a 29 by 3.
Is it actually, though?
It's not. It's at least 0.2 inches smaller than what most of the 29-plus tires are out there. So, like, on my rims, I've got a 35-mil rim. It measures out at, like, 2.6, 2.7 inches, whereas, like, a Chupacabra or whatever is somewhere around 2.8 to 2.9.
Does that – if you put that same – that Fatby Nimble on a different size rim, does that change significantly?
It can, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you ran into, let's say, on a 50-mil rim instead of the 35 I'm running, it's going to widen it out. It's going to probably get it up to around the 2.8 range.
Okay.
Whereas, like, comparably, if you were running a Nard or a Chupacabra or a Chronicle or something like that, those would come in at a true 3-inch tire on a 50-mil rim.
All right.
So, and that kind of touches on section 2 of our podcast, where we're going to kind of get into tire rim width ratios and talk a little bit, because
that's going to be the total complete NPR section of
there's lots of numbers, ratios,
blah blah,
it's all
blah,
about
yeah.
the ratios yeah. So I guess, long story short, well, probably a little late to say
about
that at this point.
Long story long.
Oops. Yeah, there's that.
What we're finding is that sometimes a fatter tire than what was traditionally run ends up being considerably faster.
Okay.
And I guess, you know, another piece to put in here is, like, I've kind of just been talking about, okay, how does it roll down the trail? You know, it's like a rolling resistance type thing.
Sure.
But there's a lot of other factors that can make a tire quicker overall on any given course.
Pressure?
Oh, I mean, pressure's huge.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get into pressure stuff more, because pressure, you know, is very, 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 very important when it comes to decreasing rolling resistance. You basically want to run as low a pressure as you can until the tire starts wrinkling, or you got to start worrying about bottoming it out, or the tire starts flopping around in corners and it feels like it's going to roll.
And that's another kind of twist of philosophy.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, before, people were like, I want to run as high a pressure as I can. Now people want to run as low a pressure as you can. And what happens is, on bumpy terrain, as long as you're not riding on, like, super smooth terrain, that tire will absorb a lot of those irregularities. So instead of making your body bounce up and down, your body's going to float over it, kind of like if it was, you know, had suspension on the bike.
Okay.
And, you know, the tire is going to be much more active in absorbing a lot of that stuff, not knocking you off your line, not, you know, slowing you down.
Does, now that most things are tubeless, does that also play a role in this?
Oh, yeah. Tubeless definitely helps. The more your tire can conform to the ground, the better. So, you know, it sounds a little bit silly because, you know, this rubber tube is very pliable and, you know, it's very flexible. But when you get rid of the tube and you just have the tire casing can more easily conform to any bumps and roots and rocks and whatever else. So it makes it a lot easier for it to kind of, like, grab on. And some tires that are really supple, I mean, it almost feels like you got like spidey grip over bumps and stuff like that, because it just completely and totally like conforms around all these bumps and grabs really, really, really well.
So within the last 5-8 years with tubeless and fat and rim widths changing, the philosophies of how you can enjoy your ride more has changed as well.
Definitely, yeah. There's been a lot of eye opening, because one of the big trends, both in like road world, mountain bike world, and you know the fat world, is to end up going with a really wide rim compared to the tire width. And this is going to be really what we get into in section two.
Gotcha.
So that's then when you go with a wider rim, typically the tire ends up getting a little bit wider, the casing size, and it gets more stable. So you can run lower pressures before the thing starts flopping around.
Well, let's wait for section two then before we get into that.
But
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, but you know, that lower pressure, that allows you to decrease the rolling resistance in general.
Okay. What do you got, Mick? Anything?
We can edit this.
So I've really focused a lot on rolling resistance, and I kind of teased out that there's other ways that a tire can end up being faster besides just how fast it rolls.
Okay.
And I guess this is one of those things where, you know, myself and like Scott Quiring and some people like that have really kind of played around with the 29 plus as a performance concept, is how I would put it. It's like where you're trying to see how it actually works as a, it's more race bike type setup where you're actually doing cross country racing.
Okay.
And what we found is that there are certain courses where having a 29 plus tire allows you to get around corners considerably faster.
Yep.
So that's a case where, you know, obviously a big fat tire is going to weigh more. So if you have to worry about accelerating that tire and slowing that tire back down all the time, you know, the 29 plus might not make a lot of sense. But if you can end up curving a corner and you don't have to slow down, so you don't have to slow it down, you don't have to reaccelerate it, a 29 plus tire can be way, 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 way faster than a regular 29er. It's just very course specific.
Just recently when we were at some local trails.
Arcadia.
For those
of us that are familiar with the area.
And I went back out on the 29.
Pizza cutter. Man, you sucked. I hate to put it that way. And it's nothing personal, because it was totally the bike. It's like all of a sudden, you know, you went from being able to hang on downhills and carving corners to just getting dropped like nobody's business. It was so bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you're right. On certain trails, it depends on what trail you're on, because there are other local trails. If I fly out to Big M, you know, I'm not as that much slower on that 29 versus the 29 plus. But when you're on something with a lot of flow and it's more twisty and it's more manicured,
when it comes down to carving corners,
right,
and you know how much you can feather that edge of the traction to get around the corner,
sure.
I mean, that's where a plus bike is going to end up ruling over a regular zombie bike.
No, and I needed to do that, though, to figure that out. I needed to go back to that zombie bike and go, oh, okay, this is what I used to think was cool.
Yep, exactly. And that's the thing. You kind of sometimes have to, I mean, you get used to whatever you're riding, and sometimes you have to, you know, kind of hit the reset button and go back, John, and you know, see what you used to ride.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So,
which reminds me, we need to bring back that 26-inch wheeled retro bike.
We're gonna have a local time trial. We're gonna have a retro night where you can only ride 26ers.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, it'll be fun.
All right,
but
anyway,
okay. So other ways that a bigger, fatter tire can end up being faster without necessarily rolling more quickly. My experience with single speed. If you're in a climb heavy course, you can climb in a much, much more relaxed fashion on a plus bike than you can on a regular 29er. Because on a regular 29er, you're putting out so much power with a single speed that a lot of times your body position on the bike and making sure that you have enough weight over the rear wheel is like super, super, super important. Mm-hmm. And you're always just kind of feathering that edge of having the rear tire spin. And if it spins, you can, you know, lose a lot of momentum.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas,
one slippage and there's a gap.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas with the plus bike, your body position doesn't make nearly as big a difference. So you can get into a much, much more relaxed climbing position when you're out of the saddle and you're pushing that big gear. And you can get up stuff without expending nearly as much energy. I raced Lumberjack last year on 29 plus, and it was a godsend because the Lumberjack is on a course where if you really just let it go, you can really run out with your speed. So, you mm-hmm. know, the heavier wheels on the downhills were a big benefit. I could get around corners faster, and I didn't have to worry about having to slow them down and then speed them back up. I could just kind of let the wheels run. So it was great on the downhills, and on the uphills, it just gave me a chance to really just relax and focus on what is the most efficient way to pedal and put out the power to get up the climbs versus – you know, having to be like all hunched over and contorted and this sort of high tension situation because I'm feathering the edge.
But that's not just for single speed, though.
I mean, that applies across the board.
You mentioned that, but, you know, in climbing, you're going to be even faster on fatter.
It's just, it's really distinctive on a single speed because with the single speed, you're always, you know, at that low cadence, super high power.
Right.
And there's a lot of times where, you know, you're doing everything you can to try to just keep on top of that gear and get to the top of the hill.
Another guy that we ride with once in a while, I think he did Lumberjack this year, 29 plus, Fred did.
Yep.
And he was like, hands down, that was completely different than doing it on a 29.
Yeah.
Regular 29er. So,
exactly.
You know, it's you know, Scott Quiry notices this and Ken Blakey Shell notices this, but, you know, there's also just recreational riders that are out having a good time that are noticing this
as well. That kind of gets back to the bike doping comment I had at the beginning of, you know, the podcast where locally different riders have adopted the 29 plus. And as soon as they do, all of a sudden they're going like a gear faster than all the other local riders. And everybody kind of is like, you know, raises the eyebrow and you're like, holy shit. You know, this dude didn't change anything. He didn't, like, from this week to last week, you know, like, gain a bunch of fitness. And all of a sudden, he's dropping me.
Yeah. No, there's a half a dozen of us, at least, northern lower Michigan that have made that switch over and noticing it.
Yeah. And, you know,
huge benefits.
The big thing is, you know, around here, the 29 plus concept is a really ideal setup. Midwest in general, it's a really good setup. However, it's not like the perfect bike for every single course. And that was a conversation. I had a really awesome ride tonight on some moto trails and stuff like that. And luckily during that time, I was riding with Quirin. I'm not trying to name drop or something here, but I was out there riding with Scott. And it gives us a chance, like while we're riding out and back, to end up just geeking out and talking about, you know, different bike tech things. You know, and he's been trying to be the old man who resurrects his race career to some extent.
Sure.
And, you know, a big part of that is to try to flush out, okay, what is the ideal tire situation for different courses? You know, when does it make sense to have, you know, the 29 plus? When does it make sense to have, you know, 29.2.4, 2.5, you know, all these different variations because there's so many bloody options right now.
Yeah.
You know, we got, you know, B plus, we got 29 plus, we got regular 29er, we've got really, really kick butt suspension coming out.
Yeah.
We got fat bikes. You know, I mean, Scott and I have both, you know, raced fat bikes in regular, you know, sort of mountain bike classes a lot just to kind of see how it lines up and where you can leverage the advantages of that really big tire. And that was one of the conversations we had was that, you know, on the way out to the trailhead, it was like, you know, you could end up having a different bike that was like optimized for different courses, like all over the place. And, you know, sometimes like a 650, just regular 650, not 650 B plus or any of this kind of stuff, could be a really, really, really ideal setup because he ended up recently racing the Red Earth Classic up in the UP, which is a
pretty brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty darn technical, bumpy, just, you know, rough course. And he was saying that, you know, having the littler wheels with, you know, 4 or 5 inches minimum of travel would be a huge benefit. And I'm talking travel front and rear, you know, full suspension. And, you know, this is coming from Scott, who has really, really, really consumed the 29 plus Kool-Aid.
I don't know if it's funny that you said about the, you know, the all-around tire for our area, but if you check out your review of the Dirt Wizard that's up on plusbikes.com,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Someone has already asked you that question. That's where it had been posted, like, hey, what do you think the best all-around northern lower Michigan tire is? and I read that, and I was like, it depends on – there isn't one.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, what's your local trail? What do you ride the most?
Right.
You know, what do you want to be a rock star on?
Exactly.
And, you know, like up here, like, you know, we've kind of, you know, dropped a few names of trails, but like, you know, Arcadia, it's hands down. You want something like a Chupacabra, which is a pretty fat tire that's got some good grip, really good all-around characteristics, mm-hmm. that rolls fairly well. That is the tire for that location. But you run that, let's say, out at the Big M, and it's still a really good tire, especially in the early season when the trails are dirty.
Yeah.
But I would argue that something a little bit narrower, like the Fat Be Nimble, is really kind of the ideal setup out there the rest of the time.
We were up north of Traverse City in Bel Air yesterday, and I was on 29-plus carving corners in those well-manicured trails, and my wife was on just her 29er, burped, flatted, you know, so... yeah, it really depends on what kind of trail you're doing.
Yeah. But. So, you know, this is a highly individualized thing, and there's so many options. I don't think there's anybody out there that's really figured it out. However, there is some interesting stuff going on that way.
Sure.
And I'm super, super, super excited about, you know, some of the different things that are going on. Like, for instance, you know, Trek and their 650B by 4-inch tire.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a really cool concept, because that's going to be the same outer diameter, pretty darn close to, you know, like a 26 by 4.8 inch tire or 29 plus inch tire. And, you know, we've seen a lot of benefits to that bigger overall diameter tire. It rolls over stuff really efficiently.
You think it'll be faster?
I think there's going to be some conditions where it definitely will be. And the reason why I say that, let me kind of provide a little bit more nuance to what I'm talking about. What's going to happen is you're going to have a more elongated contact patch compared to a 26 by 4-inch tire. So okay. It's going to sort of like what we've seen going from like a 26er to a 29er, that elongated patch will allow you to run a little bit lower pressure, and it'll allow you to carve corners a little bit better. So I can see there's going to be certain race snow conditions where that is going to be a sweet setup. It's going to roll really, really, really fast. And it's the type of conditions where you don't want the full-on burliness of a 4.8-inch tire,
okay,
but you can benefit from better carving and a little bit lower rolling resistance than you would by a 26 by 4-inch tire.
Huh. Okay.
So there's going to be some interesting stuff that comes out that way. And that kind of gets back to what we were talking about earlier with the big fat Nard versus a 3.8-inch Larry and all this other kind of...
When's it going to stop, Ken? Jeez, oh, Pete. It seems like... just when you think the bicycle is, you know, the safety bicycle is where it's at, you know?
Well, the thing is, I mean, right now with the way the industry is, our minds have just been blown. I mean, we've... Not, you know, before, like, the big deal was, okay, I could go from a 2-inch, you know, a 26er tire to a 225 or
right.
a 2.4 or sure. something like that. Now we've got, you know, the 650B, we've got the 29, we've got, you know, not just your normal range of tires that go up sure. to 2.5 inches, but then we have 3 inches, we have 4 inches, we have 5-inch tires. We've got so much crazy stuff going on, and people just, you know, it's opened up all sorts of new terrains. You know, stuff that we never even had thought about being able to ride previously.
Yeah, we've even got a 6-inch tire, I think.
I'm excited. I'm hoping V-Tire ends up coming out with that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just, there's so much stuff going on that way where, there's been this explosion of availability of tires, and you know, we haven't tested in all these conditions.
I can't go to my bike shop, though, and get a plus bike yet, can I?
It's coming really, 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 I mean, really soon. It's just around the corner.
We're reading and reading and reading, so we just think it's kind of normal. But I don't know if I can go down to my local bike shop and get a plus bike.
Not quite yet. Yeah, okay. A lot of times you're going to be cobbling it together. But, okay. I mean, once again, you know, it's we don't probably say this as often as we should during this podcast, but if you got a fat bike – You can run 650 B plus. You can run 29 right. plus.
We need to,
you know, having a fat bike opens up a humongous world to people if you build a second wheel set.
Yep.
And I mean, you can really start to dabble in all this cutting edge stuff.
Yeah, podcast just, number one.
Yeah, just because you've got, you know, a tire that, or a bike that has the clearance to cover all
that. That
is
a good point. That needs to be mentioned, you know, all the time.
Yeah. And you know, and I look back at the geometry show we just did. You know, the geometry of a fat bike is just like modern trail geometry. I mean, it's awesome for most people. You know, all the stuff that everybody wants in your latest and greatest mountain bike is right there in your fat bike.
Gotcha.
So, you know, the fat bikes open up such a good world that you've just got options and options and options. It's kind of a matter of, you know, reading up, finding out what works best for what you think you've got in your area.
Sure.
And, you know, going out there and playing around and seeing what works.
Sucks to be a biker right now, you know?
Yeah. And it's like on top of it, I mean, you need to get out and try new stuff. You know, for instance, you know, once again, this is another conversation Scott and I were having tonight where we were talking about, okay, you know, we just ended up riding Lincoln Hills, which is this moto trail that kind of is new to us. It's been around for a while.
Okay.
And it's awesome. It's super, 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 super fun. And it's got its own character. So now this means we've got five different sections of moto trail that are all different, that are all awesome. And, I mean, when I count up our local mountain bike trail, you know, we're kind of hard-pressed to end up getting five really, really great sections. I shouldn't say hard-pressed. We can get five pretty easily.
Not where we are in Northern Michigan. We got a lot of good trail. Yeah.
But, you know, it's like we basically just doubled the amount of riding that we have available to us.
And without being fat or even plus.
You wouldn't be able to ride.
There's no way you can do it.
There's no way you would be able to ride these trails. It would suck. It would really not be fun.
Mickey, there's no chance of you riding those moto trails unless you get fatter.
If I'm getting fatter, it's going to be on a frame. It's not. This can't handle. This frame can't handle. This personal body frame can't handle this.
Gotcha. All right. Cool.
We're still working on Mickey to get him fat.
Where are we? Are we? I don't know where we are. Are we on the section two? Should we take a break?
Section two yet, but I think we should take a break.
Let's take
so
a break.
That we can transition to section two
right.
And get into the dorkitude of ratios
exactly.
And rim to tire.
Oh,
or excuse
yes.
me, rim to tire ratios.
Throw a log in the fire, campers.
Yep. Grab a beer. So if I was to choose, I would just see right through. Welcome back, campers.
Hey, campers.
Okay, so now the time to geek out on numbers, because there's a lot of debate out there about kind of optimized rim width to tire width. And we just wanted to talk about some of our personal experiences and what we found and just kind of get into an experience-based thing to try to give you guys a gauge for what might work best for you.
What's the common misconception?
So, well, let me kind of give a little bit more of a historical perspective. So when mountain bikes were originally started up, there was these big fat I don't even remember how to pronounce it, but it's like IRA or it's like ARAYA something like that.
Okay.
Spelled rims. And they were really fat. They were way over 25 millimeters.
Really good on triple score. Really good word to use on triple score and Scrabble.
There you go.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
That was like the rim that you could get. It was a really durable double-walled rim. Everybody rode them. And then at some point in time, Bontrager started re-rolling road rims. And I think it was like the MA40 or it was one of the popular Maverick rims. And it was a very, very narrow rim. And what happened is you went from this IRA, you know, this fairly fat traditional mountain bike rim, which was fairly durable, that weighed like 500 grams a rim, down to a 400 gram rim.
Okay.
And to the racer boys, that's where it was at.
Sure.
So everybody kind of jumped in on this narrower rim thing. And everybody was focused on the weight. They were not focused on like your tire performance.
Okay.
You know, and how well that thing quartered, how well did it handle?
Sure.
And, you know, for years and years and years, I ran like a 20 to 25 millimeter mountain bike rim.
No kidding.
Yeah, just super scary narrow. And I remember burping tires, you know, like I'd go around hard around a corner, I'd rip the tire off the rim and all this other kind of crazy stuff. And then, you know, you're running high pressures, you're running like, you know, 45, 50 PSI, you know, all this kind of stuff. And what happened is then we've kind of gradually migrated to wider and wider rims since then. So, you know, stands has been a big part of this. If you look at like a Mavic rim from a few years ago, like a 717 or something like that,
okay,
you know, the inner width on that was like, you know, I think it was like 17, 18 millimeters. It was a really narrow rim. But then, you know, stands with the tubeless and things like that, they found that going with a little bit wider rim reduced burping and some issues like that.
Okay.
So they've slowly found ways to keep the rim light, but then widen it out. So if you look at like a Stan's Crest or an Archie X, those have an internal width of like 21 millimeters.
Okay.
So to kind of give some context, if you're riding, let's say, an Archie X or a, you know, a Crest rim or, you know, something like that, and you're running a traditional zombie bike 225 tire.
Okay.
If you end up measuring the width of the tire casing compared to the width of the inner portion of the rim, you're looking at a ratio of like 2.7. Now, that 2.7 only is important in context to other combinations of tires and rims.
So it's a relative number.
That's exactly it.
Okay.
And the reason why I bring it up is because most of us have ridden a similar setup to that in the last like 5 to 10 years.
Pretty common.
Yeah, that's a real common setup. And typically with that, you know, most riders are going to be somewhere in the 20 to 25 PSI range. If you get much below that, the tire will start getting, it'll feel floppy. You'll get into a corner and it'll start to fold over, or you're going to have to worry about rim strikes because you're going to go through a chunky section and, you know, your tire's going to bottom out and that root, rock, whatever is going to end up hitting your rim really hard. And you're going to have to worry about, you know, denting the rim. You know, there's going to be issues like that.
Tubeless or tube, doesn't matter?
The only thing tubeless really did was it made it so pinch flats were less of an issue.
Okay, all right.
So if you bottom it out, you don't have to worry about pinching the tube. You know, the tire casing was much more durable to that. Now, the thing that's the positive that tubeless introduced. The negative that tubeless introduced is burping.
Right.
And that has really caused this trend towards going with wider rims compared to the tires. Because the wider the rim, the less chance you're going to have to burp the tire.
Why is that?
I can get into a lot of geekitude as far as vectors and things like that, and I'll spare you. There's a really good article that we'll link to. It's written by Richard Cunningham.
In the show notes?
Yes, the show notes for sure.
Shy notes.
Yeah, that's the third beer talking for you. So Richard Cunningham, he kind of got into a lot of the physics of what happens when the tire starts to fold over on different rim widths, and showed that a wider rim helps to stabilize the tire. And he does a really good job of explaining it in the article that we're going to link to. So we've started to end up getting this trend towards wider and wider and wider rims because it gives better tubeless performance. And what we're starting to see now is that like common cross country rim width is like 35 millimeters or so.
FMA though, wider rims mean more weight.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And that actually, you know, kind of gets into like to just jump right forward to the plus debate. That's a huge issue because, there's a lot of debate going on about what is the optimized rim width for your 3-inch tire, your plus tire. Because in fat bike world, fat bikes are made for running in soft conditions. You want a really, really wide rim compared to the tire with fat bikes. And there's kind of this body of evidence that has developed. When it comes to the plus bikes, though, nobody really knows where you're at because you're kind of halfway between mountain bike world, you're halfway between fat bike world. So what is the optimal setup there? And there's been a lot of manufacturers and stuff like that. They've been going with 50 mil rims. Whereas what we've been doing locally is running a 35 mil rim. And to finally get to the point of what Mickey was bringing up. You know, we've been running the 35 millimeter rims because if you get a carbon rim, it weighs like 420 grams. You're not really giving up any kind of weight penalty to any of your normal cross country guys that are riding like an arch type rim. It's a little bit heavier than a crest, but does just fine. Whereas the industry standard, a lot of people have been pushing a 50 millimeter rim, which is pretty darn hefty.
Why?
It's kind of just this trend of wider is better. For whatever reason, you know, as soon as people find an advantage going in one direction, they assume that if you go to the extreme of that direction, it's going to be better.
Okay, so is it that they don't test out the narrower rims, or
it's a lot of assumptions. And okay. I'm not saying that the 50 mil rim is bad and the 35 is better.
Okay.
I just for a lot of riding conditions, from what we've found,
right,
you can save a ton of weight going with a 35 mil rim versus a 50 mil rim. So that wheel's going to accelerate better. It's going to handle more like a traditional mountain bike.
And not lose anything.
Correct.
Very little. Okay.
You will lose some really low pressure performance because that tire is going to be a little bit floppier as the pressures drop. Now, my general rule of thumb on that is that if you have to worry about the tire flopping over, it feels unstable in corners.
Right.
If you have to worry about that aspect more so than you have to worry about rim strikes,
yeah,
like basically the tire bottoming out as you go out, through, yeah, bumps and stuff like that, uh-huh, that means your rim's probably too narrow.
Okay.
If you got to worry more about rim strikes than you do about the tire folding over, that means your rim's probably too wide.
Okay.
If both happen at about the same frequency, okay, you got pretty much the optimized setup.
Gotcha.
And from what we found on our local trails, which are not super, you know, chunky technical trails, the 35 mil rim width works really well. And there's a few other, you know, advocates out there for going with a narrower rim. You know, for instance, you know, Mike Kuryak, we're starting to get a little bromance with Mike here because second podcast in a row we brought him up.
Yep.
But, you know, really experienced guy, rides out in the Rockies quite a bit. And, you know, he's been talking about how like the 35 to 40 mil seems to be plenty. So you can save a little bit of weight there and still end up having a big fat tire.
Gotcha.
And what happens, like my Chupacabras on a 35 mil, they weigh in at, or excuse me, they measure out at like 2.85 inches. If you put them on a 50 mil, they're 3 inches.
So gotcha.
You give up like 0.15 inches. Rolling again.
What do you got here, Mick?
But when you come up with industry standards, I think the industry is making it work for 52 states. And our conditions in Michigan.
There's only 50 states in the United States.
Oh, Canada and Mexico. I'm foreign. Okay. No, so what I'm saying is
52 states, what the heck?
There's not 52 states.
No, there's only 52 states.
Okay, rolling. Okay.
No, delete first.
Yeah, we're rolling. Go.
Industry.
My question is, when you go for industry standards with the, I think they're pushing it for the 50 states, and we are talking about our conditions. We're talking about 5-6 states that have our conditions.
No, and that's totally it, because, you know, different tire rim combinations are going to work better in different conditions. And in general, the wider the rim, the better it's going to work in softer conditions. Now, the Midwest, we've got about as soft a conditions as you get. You know, we've got really sandy trails here typically. You know, and it varies greatly depending on where you're at in the Midwest. But, you know, northern Michigan, we got lots of sand. And that would indicate that we probably want to run lower pressures so, you know, our tire can conform and kind of float better over that type of stuff. So you would think that a wider rim would be more ideal around here. But we found that 35 mil, that's pretty darn good. You know, and I haven't tried every single increment in between 35 and 50, but I definitely prefer a 35 over a 50 mil.
But we have noticed the weight difference.
The weight difference is huge.
Between the 35 and a 45 or 50.
Yeah, I mean, I can build up a 35 mil rim wheel set and have it weigh just over 1,500 grams, which is like a race weight weenie wheel set.
Right.
But I've got a really stable tire that's got a lot of float, and it can accelerate really well.
Okay.
So,
but good point, though, you know, about the industry.
Well, and the thing is, the industry is kind of trend-based in a lot of ways because, you know, in general, people start thinking wider is better. And that's not necessarily the case. And I guess, you know, this is a good time to bring up another aspect to what kind of feel you're going to get out of any given tire rim combo. So if you look at a traditional mountain bike, or excuse me, a traditional fat bike, normally you're going to be somewhere in the ratio range of like 1.5 to 1.2.
And rim tire there combo.
So what I'm talking about is like, let's say a 3.8 inch Surly tire. If you end up having that on an 80 mil rim, like a Daryl, you know, the tire casing is 103 millimeters. The rim inner width is like 76, and that ratio works out to 1.36.
Okay.
So, you know, to really geek out on numbers, I mean, that's what your ratio is at. And that works really well in soft conditions. If you look at, let's say, like a Bud or a Lou on a clown shoe, you're talking about a ratio of 1.2. And in those cases, you're running as low a pressure as you possibly can run. And that's where that big fat rim is really, really, really nice, because at those low pressures, the tire's stable. It doesn't roll over. It gives you this big contact patch with the ground so you can stay on top of soft stuff.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that the lower the ratio is, the less flappy?
That's exactly it.
Okay.
Yeah. The rim gets wider, yeah, it makes the tire more stable. It's like in that. When you burp a tire or things like that, what happens is that tire casing is deflected so far over to the side.
It's so high up off of the rim.
It's basically pushed so far out that the center of your tread is like beyond the outside of that rim.
Okay.
And then what it does is it peels one side of the tire off the rim and you burp.
Okay.
So the wider your rim is, the more that tire has to deflect to the side before it's beyond the rim.
So you've got a lot of tire on the ground with a low ratio.
That's exactly it. And that tire can kind of slide back and forth. And regardless of, you know, like how far over it gets, it's probably not going to get outside of that rim where it's going to feel like it, all of a sudden it folds over on you.
Okay.
So, like, you know, when you look at a traditional mountain bike setup, like what I talked about, like those Mavic 717s or whatever, with a 17 millimeter inner rim width, you're looking at a ratio of 3.35. So that casing is 3.35 times wider than the rim is. Whereas like a 3.8 inch Nate on a Daryl, or like a Bud or a Lou on a clown shoe, then you're talking to like a 1.3 or a 1.2 times fatter tire than rim.
Stupid question. Is it three times more stable or three times more floppy?
I wouldn't quite like use those terms.
Okay. Right.
It's something that allows you to go between different tire diameters and tire widths and things like that and kind of get a feel for it. And where I'm going with this is that with the fat bike world, I started out, you know, running a traditional fat bike, 3.8 inch tire, 80 mil rim, you know, rolling Daryl.
Sure.
And was really enamored with the amount of traction that I had. I was riding local single track, and I was just kind of blown away by what I could do. So I decided to end up building up a race wheel set to do, you know, Iceman.
Iceman, yeah.
Yeah, because the first year that they offered the fat bike class, I wanted to end up being competitive. So I got a pair of Velocity Dualies, which is a 45 millimeter rim.
Okay.
A very narrow fat bike rim. And
aluminum?
Yes, it's aluminum rim.
Right.
Yep, I think it weighs like 550 grams.
Okay.
So fairly light.
That would be aluminum for all my friends listening from Limerick University, just so you know.
There you go.
Okay.
So what I found, and this kind of blew my mind, because it's like, okay, yeah, this thing's lighter, accelerates better, blah, 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 blah. But it felt like a very traditional mountain bike setup. Because at that point, our ratio is somewhere around like a 2.3, which is actually pretty good by modern mountain bike standards. That's not that skinny a rim for that wide a tire. And it had a really lively ride because I was running at pretty low pressures. I'd dive into a corner and the thing would fold over a little bit, but then it would like kind of spring back. And it had a very familiar feel to what I was used to on a mountain bike as opposed to what I had gotten used to on a fat bike.
Okay, so your ratio is 3 and then you knocked it down to a 2.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. So it still was very stable. It still rode very well. I could keep it at pretty low pressure. Everything worked great. But it just had kind of that familiar, lively feel that I was going for.
But once you get those ratios down into the less than 2, into the 1 category, now you're dealing with rolling resistance.
I wouldn't necessarily say rolling resistance. You're just dealing with a pretty heavy rim for your rim tire combo.
Gotcha.
You know, because if you end up going from a ratio of like 2 to 1.2 or something like that, you're adding a serious amount of girth to that rim. So your rim weight is going to go up a lot, but your tire width is not going to expand that much. So for instance, if we're going to end up having like a Bud and a Lou and we have it on a clown shoe, that's like a 1.2 ratio. The tire casing is 119 millimeters wide. Whereas if you drop it down to Marge Light, so that's a really skinny fat bike rim. That's a, you know, like the outer dimension is 65 millimeters. Inner width is 59 millimeters.
Okay.
You know, our ratio goes up to about 1.8, but the tire only drops to 105 millimeters wide.
Explain that to me.
So what basically, I mean, our ratio went way up, but our tire did not decrease in width that much.
Huh.
It was 14 millimeters. So maybe like half an inch.
Okay.
You know, and to kind of give you an a perspective on that, one of our local riders, his wife has just kind of gotten into fat biking and had, you know, she's really small in stature. She's like 5'1", 5'2", at best. And she ended up having a custom bike built up, and it was designed around using, you know, a Bud and Lou front and rear on Marge Light rims.
Sure.
So she ended up having a very, very big contact patch with a fairly light setup, you know, and being smaller stature, the thing rolled up to speed a little bit better. She saved in weight, but she was still able to have this very, very, very big contact patch, very big amount of float. So in soft, unconsolidated winter conditions, the bike still rode really well.
So, yeah, so she got some huge benefits from that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And in that situation, you know, at the time the bike was built, the Bud and Lou were the biggest, gnarliest tires you could end up getting as far as, like, knob height and all these other things. So not only did she get a fairly high-volume setup that was fairly light for the full wheel set, it also ended up having some big, fat knobs.
Does that setup have any negatives, though?
Yeah, like, if I was going to ride that setup, it would suck. And the reason why I say that is because...
Because you're three times her height.
Yeah, practically. Yeah, it's like I weigh way the heck more. I probably weigh close to twice as much as she does. So when it comes to hard cornering, things like that, I would be able to fold that tire over really, really easily. Yeah. So it would not be a good setup for me. Whereas for her, being really lightweight, it worked out really well.
What about on a tandem?
So, okay, yeah, tandem is a really extreme example.
Sure.
And I've got a fair amount of experience, you know, piling in tandems and stuff like that.
Oh, really? I didn't know that about you.
Yep. Yeah. I've been lucky to talk some good riders into stoking for me. But in the case of a tandem, not only do you have extreme weight for any given tire size, so it's very easy to bottom that tire out and pinch flat it, but you also end up putting really, really big side loads on that front tire, because with that long wheelbase, you start to turn that front wheel and that bike just wants to push. So, you know, if you're going to have a floppy tire situation, the tandem is going to highlight it in a big, 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 big way.
Okay.
So you want to go with a really fat flipping rim for that tire. So
you,
for instance,
always put a clown shoe on your fat tandem.
Pretty much, yeah.
In the front?
Yeah. So, like, when I ended up doing Iceman this year with Scott, we ended up running clown shoe rims, and we had Husker do tires. And that was a really good setup. But we still had to run like 25 PSI, not to bottom those things out and peel them off the rims.
If I may, Clown Shoe is the widest rim available?
There's a couple that are a few millimeters wider. I don't remember exactly what the manufacturer is off the top of my head. But, yeah, basically, it's, you know, the most popular really wide rim, Clown Shoe, 100 mil.
Unless it's heart surgery, what's a couple of mil, really?
Yes.
True.
Yes.
But well, Clown Shoe's standard, industry standard, I think, you know, pretty.
Yeah.
Everyone knows
most,
the Clown Shoe.
Most people are pretty familiar with it.
Okay. But at 25 PSI, you had that thing jacked up too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had to. Because we test rode it, and we were trying to run it, like, in the upper teens, and we were just bottoming it out like crazy.
No kidding.
Yeah. And it's just because there's so much weight on those tires.
Right. Okay. Huh.
So, I guess, to kind of bring this all back and kind of summarize this a little bit, what our experience has been, when you start to get into the plus world, you can go as narrow as a 35 mil rim, and that's an outer width, you know, the inner width is 30, and you can still have the tire perform really, really, really well. You know, kind of going back to my personal experience, you know, I was just recently testing the Dirt Wizards. That is such a grippy tire that I found the 35 mil rim didn't cut it. I wanted a wider rim because that thing grabbed onto the ground so well that I would just be railing around a corner and the thing would fold over.
So if you would have had a wider rim, that would have spread out the tread pattern?
It's not necessarily, it's not as much as spreading out the tread pattern as making the tire casing more stable.
Okay.
You know, that tire has to deflect further to get outside of the rim.
Gotcha.
And have it flap over.
Yeah, it acts as a fulcrum.
That's exactly what, you know, that article that I mentioned by Richard Cunningham, where he talks about what it takes to burp a tire. Really what happens is one bead ends up being your pivot point and the tire is your kind of your lever arm. Okay. And it can pull the far side bead completely away from the rim if that tire extends beyond the width of the rim. You know, so it's, you've got to really side load the tire.
Gotcha.
So, in that situation, you know, what we're finding is a ratio of like 2.4-ish works pretty darn well. That's a 3-inch tire on a 35 mil exterior width rim. Once you start to get into the fat bike world, you want to probably drop that down a little more. You want to end up getting in like the 1.4 to 1.6 range.
Sure.
You know, because that's a bike that specializes in soft conditions. So you want to have a wider rim so you can run lower pressures. When you start to get to the Bud and Lou world, you want to be less than 2.5. You want to end up being like 2.2 or something because that's a bike that's designed to run at the lowest possible pressures.
You got to check your ratios, folks. You need to know about your ratios. You know, I was thinking, and this is a really interesting chart that you've created here.
And it's something I could share.
Show notes.
I'll put it in the show notes.
I would, you know, push pause, folks, and check out this chart that he's got there on the show notes. And we'll be right back with section number 3. Well, how you like me now?
Welcome back, campers. So we got one short segment to discuss now.
One short segment.
And that has to do with, I mean, we've kind of been talking about rolling resistance and folding tires over.
I think the focus has been ratios.
Yeah, the most recent has been ratios.
Ratios.
So another piece that goes along with this is the overall outer diameter. And I'd kind of talked earlier about how excited I was that Trek is doing the 650B by 4-inch tire.
Yes.
And that, you know, we just kind of want to end up nailing that home because when you get a bigger diameter wheel, it rolls with lower resistance. And the reason why is because as you go over bumpy terrain, it doesn't drop into the holes. You run a little wheel, like a 26er, like a kiddie wheel, it's going to drop into every single little hole because that thing's small diameter. The bigger and bigger that thing gets, the more it's going to end up kind of bridging over the peaks of bumps and it's not going to drop in.
All right. I want to clear, I got a stupid question. Is a 26 inch or 29-inch wheel, is that the rim that's 29 inches and 26 inches, or is that the distance from the bottom of the tire to the top of the tire?
That's the bottom to the top of the tire. That's okay. That's the overall outer diameter.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, and these are rough estimates because every, you know, you get wider tires, the tire gets bigger. But, you know, with a 26 by your traditional, like, kind of 2-inch tire,
sure,
that thing is going to have a diameter of about 26 inches. You go with a 29 by 2-inch tire, that thing's going to have a diameter of about 29 inches.
Okay.
You go with a 29 by 3-inch tire, it bumps up and it gets to about 30.5 inches. And, you know, to kind of emphasize how the tire width impacts the overall diameter, if you go with a 26 by 4.8 inch tire, that is also going to be about the same size as the 29 plus, which is about 30.5 inches.
Okay. All right.
So as your tire gets bigger, the overall outer diameter gets bigger.
Sure.
So, you know, when you kind of are switching between the diameter rims, like a 26 by 4.8 is about the same diameter as a 650B by 4, which is about the same diameter as a 29 by 3. And it's like, if somebody out there was going to get all crazy and come up with like a, I don't know, what it would end up being, like a 30-inch rim or 31-inch right, rim by 2, that'd be the same.
Well, that might be a good discussion. Is there a limit to how big we can get without...
Yes.
Getting crazy, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because there's implications to the bigger diameter. And it has a couple of different things going on. As the tires get, you know, or the wheels get bigger, your spokes have to get longer. You know, there's some geometry stuff that goes on with bracing angles and some
back
things
to
like
triangles
that.
Triangles from the last podcast.
Yeah. So your wheels get more flexy. You get much heavier wheels because you've got this big circumference that
sure,
the thing's got to go around. So, you know, there's some custom manufacturers that have done like 36 inch wheels and things like that. And those can do some really cool stuff, but they're heavy.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, you know, when you talk about any given setup for any given trail, there's kind of an optimized setup. And what we're finding based upon all the available stuff that's out there,
mm-hmm,
is that somewhere between this 30.5-inch outer diameter and the 26-inch diameter is an ideal for most trails.
Okay.
Typically, it ends up being somewhere in the 29 to 30-inch range.
We can always go back to throwing in hub standards and changing the triangle of the spokes and
yep,
that kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to tire width, depending on how much float you need, there's kind of some, you know, optimized widths. You know, and what we're finding right now, like at least in the Midwest, is that somewhere bigger than 2.4, somewhere less than 3 is kind of your fastest setup if you're talking about a cross-country type deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll find something totally different in, you know, the East or out in the Rockies or, you know, out on the
well,
Pacific Coast.
And that's the thing, is industry is going to this plus size. They're not just focusing on selling bikes in the Midwest, are they? I mean, the plus size must be able to work from coast to coast.
Well, if I had to read tea leaves, I mean, I don't really know for sure what's going on with the industry, but I think this is a little bit of a test in the waters. Because if you look at what's happening with the fat bike world, it's really big in the Midwest. It started to end up getting a lot bigger in the Rocky Mountain region, and it's really big up in Alaska. But as far as the coast go, really hasn't happened.
Okay.
You don't see a whole lot of fat bikes out there. And that opens up a big world where the plus bikes may get traction there.
Okay.
But
some companies have gone all in, though. You know, Trek's gone all in, Scott's gone all in.
Well, and the reason why is because it provides a lot of versatility. You know, getting back to our Judas Goat bikes,
okay,
that's something that both you and I ride, yep, where it's a four-season fat bike, and kind of getting back to you know, the fat bike podcast question of a couple of weeks ago, my fat bike is a four season ride. It is not a winter fling.
Yes.
You know, I use that sucker every bloody day, 365.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because I can run up to a 4.8 inch tire in the winter.
Yep.
Or I can run a 29 plus, or heck, I, you know,
you
with
can
the
even go 29er.
Yeah, I can throw on a 2.4 or 2.25 tire, and the thing still rides great.
Sure.
So I've got this incredible range from, you know, 2.25-inch tire all the way up to a 5-inch tire that I can run, and I can swap it out, and it's a super versatile setup.
Right.
And that's kind of, you know, like this B plus 29 being able to run both of them, it's kind of a light version of that philosophy.
Huh.
Because, you know, if somebody wants to run a regular 29 inch tire on, you know, all these bikes that are coming up, they can do it. If they want to end up running a little bit wider tire, they want to run a 3 inch, you know, a B plus setup, they can do it.
Hmm.
And that's really what this Boost standard has opened up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have unlimited drivetrain options. I shouldn't say unlimited. You can run a 2x setup up front, which is pretty much gives you all the range you need nowadays. So you don't have drivetrain limitations, and you can customize the tire diameter and width to what works best in your area. So it's a really, really versatile setup. And that's why the industry is embracing it so much. It's, you know, it gives people options. It's awesome.
Yeah, you can fight the Boost. And we did that a couple of podcasts ago, but it's becoming more prevalent on bikes as we read.
Yeah, it's the new normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is going to be the emerging standard. And the reason why is because all of a sudden you can choose to run your traditional 29er, or you can choose to run a 3-inch tire. And that just gives you so much versatility and opens up so much new riding.
Like I said, do you believe that industry has lagged, dropped the ball on the fat bike?
I don't think they've dropped the ball. What's happened is that it really hasn't caught on in certain geographic regions. People don't understand what it opens up to them. And it just hasn't gotten traction. And part of it is because, you know, people look at it and it's like this goofy looking setup and it's heavy and why would I want to ride that? You know, but in the Midwest and things like that, where we have a real winter, it's awesome. You know, you ride it all winter, it's great. You start to ride it during the summer, you're like, wait, this is really fun. And it's gotten traction there. The same thing's happened to Alaska. You know, same thing's going on out in the Rocky Mountains. But it's not perfect. Like, if you're predominantly riding on trails, fat bike might not be the best option.
For me, I mean, I might be joking around, but I have ridden the fat on the trails. And it really did open up for me. It's like, now, you know, you meet a bunch of bikers. It's not a case of the road ride or mountain bike. You can say, no, I road ride, I mountain bike, and I fat bike. Because, like you say, it is a four season. The amount of trails that have opened us for here, us locally, is, I mean, I can't.
It's doubled the amount of trail we
at
have.
At least if we're lucky.
Yeah, not to mention, then we got the beach.
Well, exactly. It's a whole new genre of biking. It's, you know, road, mountain, fat.
Yep.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Back to the diameter, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, the big end of the diameter is just the bigger diameter rolls faster. And but it ends up being heavier. So
yeah,
if we want to kind of wrap up the overall diameter thing, that's the gist.
Rolls faster, but is heavier.
Yep. And once again, you know, sometimes that rollability is going to end up outweighing the extra weight because you're just not going to have to slow it down. You're going to carve better.
Well, yeah. So we've kind of, once again, talked way too much about one subject, and we probably could go on and on, but...
Oh, we could definitely go on and on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But campers, we appreciate you listening again to the Tire Rim Width Ratio podcast.
Ooh, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
I think Wim was good. Wim worked. I think that was
tire
good.
Tire whim width.
Yes, it's all about whims. Jeez. Yes, follow your whims.
Jeez. No, thanks though. Ken, if you want to take it out, that'd be great.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Fat Camp. The music we used on today's show was The Heavy and their song How Do You Like Me Now. You can find all our shows at fatbike.com, including notes for today's show. Thanks for listening.